Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to John chapter 4. Good morning. It's great to see everybody. We're praying for Roxanne and Stephen Little. She's in labor as we speak. I spoke to Stephen this morning. He said she's doing well. And I could hear in the background, pray that he'll come soon. So just hang in there. He's coming. It's good to see everyone. Our text this morning is going to be John chapter 4. But before I get into my lesson, I know a lot of us are into the World Cup. I know Marisa Bella is excited this morning. Colombia made it to the quarterfinals yesterday. And people have been asking me, so who's going to win the World Cup? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. Speed is going to win this World Cup. You can't teach and coach speed. Just mark that down. Speed is going to win this World Cup. But I'm excited. My two countries are still in it, the USA and Nigeria. So I'm excited. And the USA plays Belgium, I believe, on Tuesday. And Nigeria is going to be playing France tomorrow. So you know which teams I'm going to be cheering for. And I'm praying for them too, by the way. But this morning we're going to be looking at John 4. And I've titled this lesson, Changing Lives, One Conversation at a Time. Changing Lives, One Conversation at a Time. John chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a time in Samaria named Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, that is noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows, another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen? Changing lives, one conversation at a time. This is probably my most favorite evangelism passage in the entire New Testament. I love it. And it's always amazing to me, every time I go back to it, I always see something new that I'd never seen before. And I want to make 3 quick points very quickly this morning from this lesson. Number one, position yourself. Position yourself. We're told that he had to go through Samaria. Again, if you look at a map, you know that Galilee is on top, Samaria is in the middle, Judea and Jerusalem is towards the bottom. And he's going back from Judea, going back up. And Jews, because they didn't associate with Samaritans, would literally go around instead of traveling through Samaria. But on this occasion, the Bible tells us that he went through Samaria. And it's about noon in the afternoon, and he sits down by a well because he's tired. The Bible tells us that the apostles had gone into town to buy food. 12 apostles plus Jesus, that's 13. I don't think you need 12 guys to go into town to go buy food for 13 people. Notice, they left him there by himself. Chances are, as they're going into town, they go by this lady who is on her way to the well. Jesus positioned himself by the well. Why? Come on, guys. This is the Son of God. This is the guy who created everything according to the scriptures. The Bible says there is nothing that was created that has not been created except by him. Are you really telling me Jesus sat there by the well to drink water? Again, notice there is no account in the scriptures that I just read that he ever drank water from her. Jesus was not interested in drinking water. Again, he had the power to sit there and command the water to come out of the well straight into his mouth. He's one of those, okay, there's nobody looking. All of a sudden. Of course he had the power. But there is no question in my mind that Jesus went into Sychar to reach out to this lady. And again, we have a little brief history of her life from reading the passage. He didn't go to the righteous. He went to the lowest of the low. He went to somebody that was really in need of Jesus. You see, if you and I, even today in 2014, and as we live our lives in the 21st century, if we're going to be effective in reaching out to people, you got to position yourself. Spiritually and physically. Remember that scripture teaches that nobody can come to God unless God enables them. That's what he says in John chapter 6, twice. What we're talking about is a spiritual thing. Scripture teaches that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. That's why they can't see the gospel. And so it starts with you and I on our knees every single day, praying for people by name, asking God to draw them towards Him, asking God to open up their eyes, their spiritual eyes, so that they can see the truth in the gospel. Are you with me? Jesus didn't have to pray that prayer because He's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. But He positioned Himself because, you know what? There's no way in the world that woman could go anywhere else except encountering Jesus. That's what we must do as Christians. Amen? Amen. Again, you ask the question, why did she wait till noon to go fetch water? Right now, it's summertime. It's hot. Thank God for air conditioning. People say to me sometimes, Richard, you're from Africa. Why are you complaining about heat? We stay indoors in Africa too. Our skin also burns. But anyway, this woman waited till noon to go fetch water. When usually you go early in the morning before the sun comes up, or late at night after the sun has gone down already. Why would she go out there at noon? Because she realized, she knew that there would be nobody there. Again, because of her reputation, we can surmise that from the story. I want you to imagine the kind of conversations that's going on in that town about this lady. We don't know her name. God has spared her the indignity of telling us her name. Let's call her Rebecca. Okay? Is there any Rebecca in the house? I don't mean to offend you. But let's, for our purposes, let's just call her name Rebecca. You can just imagine Rebecca in the mornings when all the women got their jars on their heads, on their shoulders, going towards the well. Here she comes. You better take care of your husband. Here she comes. She's going to steal your man. The Bible says she's had 5 husbands. How many people do you know that's got 5 husbands? She had a lousy reputation. And I'm sure they would talk about her. Oh, here she comes. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to put up with that anymore. I'll just go when everybody else has gone. But Jesus is right there waiting for her. You see, you got to position yourself spiritually. Amen? Amen? That's where it begins. Where do people hang out these days when it's hot outside? You don't see them walking around. Yeah, there are some people out there getting their exercise in the park and stuff. But most people are in the shade somewhere. They're in the mall somewhere where there's air conditioning. Praise God for air conditioning. I don't know who invented air conditioning, but that person is a genius as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you and I are sitting here this morning. We can feel the effects of it. It's nice and cool in here. There was a few years ago, they forgot to turn the AC on in this place. It was not pleasant. I mean, we were all going like this. But you see, Jesus positioned Himself. We got to go where people gather. Whether it's in the malls, where else are they? They're in their homes. They're in your neighborhood. They're your neighbors. You notice your neighbors are in the habit of, you know, taking walks in the evenings. Then go for a walk in the evening. And as they're walking by, you stop them. Hey, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. I live down the road. I notice you're walking your dog. Now, don't go pet the dog. You don't know what kind of dog that is. But you got to position yourself. Amen? Very, very important. That's the first thing we got to do that we see from this story. Number 2. Oops. Initiate conversation. Notice what Jesus said. Give me a drink. Again, was He really interested in drinking water? I don't think so. Because again, there's no record that He drank water from her. He could have, but there's no record of it. Jesus says, please give me a drink. That's all it takes to start talking to somebody, is initiate conversation. One simple question. Again, right now the World Cup is going on. Use it as a means of starting a conversation. USA! They They're going to raise their hand too. USA, I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. Great conversation starter. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. I've heard you're also chanting in your house. My wife came in the other day. She goes, Richard, you are so loud. I could hear you in the parking lot. I said, it's okay. I'm in my house. When I'm watching sports, when my teams are playing, I get very excited. I get very animated. And it's okay. That's how I release my stress. But use whatever it is, use it. Start a conversation. Notice, the woman is surprised that Jesus is talking to her. The Bible tells us that Jews did not associate with Samaritans, let alone she's a woman. He says, wait a second, you're a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman and you are asking me for a drink? But again, Jesus initiated the conversation. You got to find something to talk about. Compliment people on something they're wearing. Nice shoes. I do that sometimes. I've done it. Ooh, nice suit. How you doing? My name is Richard. Where'd you get that? I'm not interested in the suit. I'm just trying to start a conversation with this guy. Now you tell me where I got the suit now. You know, I'll put it in the back of my mind somewhere. When I need that suit, I'm going to go get it. But just initiate conversation. People are not going to bite you. Okay, I take that back. I know you've been watching the World Cup. Luis Suarez just did that and got sent home. Okay? But people are not Luis Suarez. Okay? You know what I mean. They are not going to bite when you initiate conversation. All right? They're not going to bite you. They're very nice. We're in the South. People are very nice down here. You guys don't believe me? You need to go spend one week in New York City or in Boston. John was telling me the other day, I think he had gone home to visit, and he came to the toll booth, in one of the toll booths in New York, and he goes, how you doing? To the guy in the booth, you know, collecting the toll. The guy said, come and see the look he gave to him. Like, where are you from? He grunted. John was like, I'm sorry. He said, I forgot I was way back in New York, where people are very rude. Nobody says hello to you in New York. If you're walking on the sidewalk in Manhattan, you say, how you doing? How you doing? People are going to look at you like you're crazy. They just don't. Over here, you know, you're driving by, your neighbors are waving at you. They don't do that up north. They just don't. I'm sorry. And so what I'm saying is we need to take advantage of what we've got here in the South. Amen? So initiate the conversation. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. He was a single man. She was a woman. He was learned. She was uneducated. He was morally upright. She had loose morals. Jesus defied all conventional wisdom by talking to this woman. Would you talk to someone like this? Or are we just used to talking to people or initiating conversation that people that are like us? It shouldn't be that way. Jesus saw a woman who needed God. When you go by people in the mall, when your neighbors walk by or they drive by, what do you see? Do you see people as harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd like God sees them? Or do you see somebody in a nice car going off to work? We need to learn to see what Jesus sees. It's something that we need to be praying about for God to open up our eyes. But it starts by initiating the conversation. Brothers and sisters, making disciples is not an option. You know, it's not one of those, I don't have the gift of evangelism. You can't find that verse in the Bible. If anything, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. And he's talking to everybody. Now, I admit, some people are very good at it. But God calls all of us to be a part of it. Amen? At the very end, it says we shouldn't be working for food that's going to spoil, but food that endures to eternal life. That's in John chapter 6, verse 27. The thing that's going to endure for eternal life is people's souls. But it starts by initiating the conversation. I got an email from a brother Friday night saying that, you know, they had their first marriage Bible talk, you know, with this series that we're doing. And said there were 10 couples there, and he was very excited. I said, amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? But it just can't be a few people. It's got to be all of us. Because there are people that I'm going to come across that you will never cross their path in this life. There are people that are going to cross your path at work or where you live or based on something that you're doing that another disciple in this church will never come across. And God has placed us in all these different places for a reason. Amen? You got to see that you're there for a reason. You're there for a purpose. And you and I need to be representing God wherever it is we find ourselves. Very, very important. Amen? We all need to be doing this thing together. We got some great examples in this church of brothers and sisters that are extremely evangelistic that I believe a lot of us need to imitate. I love Joe and Lisa Washington. They will talk to anybody that's moving. That's just who they are. That's a great couple to imitate. They're always praying for open people. And I'm not mentioning them. I didn't know they were not going to be here. I guess they're on vacation somewhere. Another brother like that is Steve Moravi. Steve Moravi fixes ACs and, you know, he's into heat and air conditioning. Every call he makes, he works for a company. When they give him a call to go, you know, go fix somebody's AC or their heater, he's always talking about God. Amen. I've had to tell him, Steve, you need to kind of be very tactful about how you do this because you may lose your job. One time, he was reaching out to this guy. The guy got so upset that he's talking to him, having the audacity to talk to him about God and the Bible. The guy called his work and said, don't send that guy back to my house. I'm not interested in God. I don't want to hear about it. And so Steve called me and said, what do I do? I said, well, if somebody says they're not interested, just leave it right there. You can't go on. But that's just who he is. He can't help it. Amen? Amen? Another couple are the Anglings, Bert and Julia. Just always talking about God and what God is doing in their lives. And really, that's what sharing your faith is. And I know we have a lot of campus students here who do the same thing. Amen. We have single people in the room doing the same thing. And all I'm saying is all of us need to imitate these guys. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because it's not rocket science. It simply starts with a simple conversation. You know, the other day, I was outside Barnes & Noble, and I can't remember who it was, whether it was Malachi or Jake, one of the brothers. I'm not confusing them. We're in a Bible study with two different guys, with the two brothers separately. But we're sitting outside Barnes & Noble. You know, we're inside and said, let's go outside. Because, you know, when you're in there, you know, people can hear what I'm saying. And you know me, I'm loud. Not that I care. But I wanted to be sensitive to other people in the library, so to speak. So I said, let's go outside. So we sat outside, and about 6 feet away, there was another table, and a gentleman was sitting over there. And so we're sitting there, we're looking at the Bible and everything. So I got up to go in and get something. I said, you guys want anything? They said, no. I said, I went inside. And I'm coming back out, and some of my spirit just said, say something to the guy. So before I sat down, before I reached our table, so I said, excuse me, how you doing? I introduced myself. And the guy goes, yeah, I noticed you guys are talking about God, and you're looking at the Bible. And he goes, can I get your number? He asked. And he grabbed his phone. He says, I'd like to have your number. And he put pastor. Here we go. And anyway, what's your name? I said, Richard. Pastor Richard. He put my number in there. I didn't even have an invite. I think it was Jake. I said, can I have an invite to church? And so he gave me one. So we gave it to the guy. But see, there are people out there that are searching.
when the Spirit of God prompts you, just open your mouth. Remember, they're not going to buy. They're not Luis Suarez.
I feel bad for the guy. He'll never leave that down. That was the third time he's done it, by the way. Oh, it wasn't the first time. That was the third time he's done it. But anyway, I'm getting away from my lesson here. Initiate the conversation. And finally, go deeper. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus starts talking about living water. I will give you some references. Jeremiah 17, verse 13. Jeremiah 17, 13. Psalm 42, verse 1. Psalm 42, verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, verse 13. And Zechariah 13, verse 1. Zechariah 13, verse 1. These are passages where God is called the spring of living water. Okay? Even before Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He," He's basically saying to you, "I am the Messiah." Because in the Old Testament, God is called the spring of living water. I said, "Wait, give me some of this water so I won't keep coming back here." Obviously, she's thinking about physical water. God is thinking about spiritual water. Amen? And finally, Jesus says, "Go call your husband." Oh, you got to love Jesus, man. Go call your husband. You might say, "Well, we got a problem." Okay, that's my paraphrase. "I don't have a husband." He says, "Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. As a matter of fact, you've had five husbands. And the man you are presently with is not your husband." And then notice how he says, "Yeah, you know, I can see that you're a prophet." And then she tries to change the subject. Because then she starts talking about where they need to worship. He says, "No, not too fast. Let's get back here." But you got to go deep. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying in the very first conversation you need to go this deep. But we're talking about Jesus here. But as you initiate conversation, as you initiate that friendship, as you have that person in your home, or you go out with them, or whatever, you got to go deeper in the Word. You got to allow the Bible to start doing the talking. Because it is the Scriptures that changes people's hearts. It's not your words. It's not mine. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think some of us, we talk too much. When I say you talk too much, I'm talking about your own words. You're sitting there trying to help this person change their lives. I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to them, but use the Bible. It's a lot more powerful tool than all of our words put together. But you got to go deeper. But you see, sometimes we think, "Oh, if I go too deep, then I'm going to drive them away." No! You can never drive away somebody that has been appointed for eternal life. You cannot do it. If anything, they're going to eat it up. Yes, there are people, yeah, when you show them scriptures, they're going to take off. But it's okay. Hopefully, when they decide to change, they will come back to you. Why? Because the truth will set you free. The people on the side of truth listen to Jesus. That's what it talks about all in the book of John. But you got to go deeper. You cannot be afraid to tell people what they need to hear. Amen. We're talking about eternity here. Amen? I shared this story before, but I'll share it again. I was at the University of Florida Law School minding my own business. And I had a girlfriend at the time. She was in Connecticut, where I was, and she came down to Gainesville to spend Thanksgiving with me. I look back now, I was like, you know, we were just dumb. Some of the stuff we did, and I mean, it was just dumb. She told her sister and her family she was going somewhere else, and she came to Gainesville. I mean, what if the plane, something happened with the plane? I mean, how was I supposed to explain myself? All this stuff came later, but at the time, I didn't see it. But anyway, she comes down, and she leaves. And Gene Veal, the brother who eventually studied the Bible with me, he came in and knocked on my door. He was living right next door. He knocked. I said, "Come on in." And he goes straight to the point. He said, "You know, your girlfriend came to visit you. How was the visit?"
I said, nothing happened.
Again, I lied.
And he said, you know, Richard, I want to show you something. And he opened up to the Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 3. First of all, I didn't even know that verse existed in the Bible. It simply says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. For these kind of things are impure for God's holy people. And he says, Richard, here you are, you call yourself a Christian. What do you think the neighbors are thinking? And I thought to myself, you're right. And I said, thank you for showing me this. I said, this will never happen again. And it never did. But he put the relationship on the line. He wasn't afraid to challenge me. He wasn't afraid to call me to repentance. I was just going to church. I had not started studying the Bible when he said those words to me. It was months later. After I finished my exams, he comes up and says, let's look at the Bible. And I said, sure, let's do it. But I'll tell you one thing. I respected him so much for it. Because again, up to that, in my life, up to that point, no one dared sit me down and challenge me about anything. And he did it. And because of him, because of that conversation, because of him going deeper, I'm not afraid to challenge me. I am standing here almost 29 years later. I'm glad he did. Now, if you look at your own life, you probably see the same thing. Where somebody sat you down and told you, dude, lady, you are messing up. And you need to change. Why did they do that? Because they love you. Because they want you to know this God. Because they want you to spend eternity with God. Because they know your life is going to be very different. And you listen. And you're here today.
You know, a few weeks ago, we had a meeting up in Ashford, North Carolina. The elders went first, and then the evangelists and women's ministry leaders went afterwards. And my crowd was telling me a very interesting story. And one of the brothers, who's now also an elder in North Carolina, in the church in Triangle, they're having a conversation. And the brother goes, where did you grow up? Say, oh, North Carolina. And he mentions the name of, you know, his town. The guy goes, I used to be a police officer in that town. As a matter of fact, in the area where you live, it was such a drug-infested area, we used to go on foot patrols. And Mike looked at him and said, I was one of those drug dealers. Can you imagine? Now, both of them are now elders in God's kingdom. The brother looked at Mike and said, man, if I had caught you back then, it would not have gone well for you. And they just smiled, you know, they smiled about it. And only God can change people. God knew back then that these two men will be playing roles in his church. Only God can change people like that. Amen? You never know, but you got to go deeper. You see, God often uses and calls the most unlikely people. That's what he did with this woman. I mean, if you were reaching out, is this the person you go, quote unquote, share your faith with? The woman who's got five husbands? Wouldn't you go talk to the single guy or the single lady? Thinking, well, they're going to be a lot easier. And I say all this because people that are in sin are probably the most open. And brothers and sisters, we got to stop sizing people up. We got to stop looking at the external. And think, oh yeah, this one looks open. She doesn't look open. We got to stop doing that. It's when you open up the scriptures that you can tell if somebody's really open or not. Because that's when the Holy Spirit starts to do its work. Are you with me? Our job is simply to open up our mouths, to initiate conversation, and to go deeper with people. You know, some of us this morning, I know you're here visiting for the first time, or you've come several times, and I'm glad you're here. But I'll say this much to you. You are not here by accident. You are not here by accident. God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to reach out to you. The question is, are you going to listen? You know, a survey was done, Oh, this has been up there. Okay, no problem. What was responsible for you coming to Christ? 3% said I had a special need. 6% said I liked the minister. Personally, I don't think it's that high. I like the Bible classes, 4%. I like the Sunday school, 5%. I visited before, 1%. Other reasons, 2%. Look at this. A friend or relative invited me, 79%. That's the situation of things, folks. This has not changed. You see? But you see, all it does, all it takes is it starts with one conversation. You are a disciple today because somebody started a conversation with you. It could have been a relative. It could have been a total stranger. But somebody reached out to you. Somebody reached out to me. And here we are decades later. And we're trying to help our families. We're trying to help our extended families. We're trying to help our neighbors. We're trying to help people we work with. We're trying to help strangers. But it all starts with our own selves and our spiritual lives. Amen? Amen? Amen. Later on in that passage, Jesus says, we shouldn't be saying, oh, 4 more months and then the harvest is. Look, open your eyes. The fields are ripe for harvest. This is one area I feel as a church we need to really grow in. Okay? I'm not trying to pat us on our backs, okay? Because every time you do that, God will humble you very quickly. This is a great congregation. If I can say so myself. How do I know? I have been around. And I still continue to go around. There are a lot of things that we have going on for us in this congregation that is awesome. Like Steve just reminded us, I mean, we're close to $100,000 in special contribution this year. We've never given that kind of money before in this church. You are to be commended. That is going on great. We're a very warm church. People go places and they go, you know what? Nobody said hello to us. In our fellowship of churches. We got that going on. Hey, somebody's gonna come talk to you. Now you will be sitting there this morning. Hey, wait a second. Nobody has come and said hello to me. We are going to change after this. I promise you, somebody's gonna talk to you after this on your way out. We have a lot of things going on for us. But this is one area I feel we need to really take it to another level. But it's gotta take all of us praying for open people. There's something I want us to add to our vocabulary this morning. You know how we know SSI? And we know it by heart. We can say it in our sleep. I mean, that we live it. When you're talking to a disciple or you're thinking about a disciple, you can text them or you're talking to them in person or on the phone or whatever. Here's the way I want us to start ending our sentences. Here's the way I want us to start saying goodbye to each other. Starting with me. Brother, sister, remember, the harvest is plentiful. Amen. All the fields are ripe for harvest. Amen. And I think it would help us on a daily basis to remember that. Because I think we've forgotten. God doesn't lie. These scriptures are very true. It's just that a lot of us, we've forgotten. And I think it would be good if we reminded ourselves every single day. Hey, bro, you forgot. Remember, the fields are ripe for harvest. That's the way I'm going to start ending my sentences from now on, until it becomes second nature. Again, to remind myself that, you know what, the fields are indeed ripe for harvest. And to remind my brother or my sister that indeed the fields are ripe for harvest. Because I know as they're going about that day, they're going to be praying about that thing. They're going to start seeing people differently. I believe we need to grow in our compassion for the lost in this church. We need to see what God sees. Amen. Heaven is going to be an incredible place. It really is going to be. And our job is to not only get there and to get our families there, but to drag as many people as we can with us as we go through this life. But it starts by changing lives one conversation at a time. God bless.